Welcome to Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples, and it's always my pleasure to bring you a little inspiration, ideas, and insight for better living, and to introduce you to people who are doing something cool, interesting, and motivating in our city and far beyond. So today we're going to be speaking with Raul Valdez Perez, who is the author of Advice is for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. So if there's something you need a little advice on, today's going to be your day, because we don't have to go it alone. We can ask for other people. We're also going to be talking with fitness professional Kate McKenzie. She's got some exciting stuff going on here in the city, and she's going to give us some ideas for healthier living, both in our work and home lives. But first, got to catch you up on the Love Everywhere project. Well, if you're following it, you know it was a 365-day project that has turned into, well, it'll probably turn into a lifelong project. But the idea is to be spreading love and noticing loving things that are happening out there in the world. And I'm on day 350-some-odd, and I just want to tell you about a couple that I met. It's funny how these stories just keep finding you. It's funny how whatever you're looking for, once you kind of got those antennas up, it just seems easier to find them. So I was actually in Sedona, Arizona. And I was taking a picture of a couple, and this other couple said, would you take our picture? So, of course, no problem. So I take the picture, and I said to the couple, wow, you know, you're a really nice-looking couple. And he said, thanks a lot. He said, it's our 38th wedding anniversary. And I said, oh, congratulations. He says, yeah, well, we haven't seen each other in 30 years. It was like, what? So we kind of had to rethink that story, and he told me that they had been divorced 30 years ago. And they had just recently reconnected. They lived in different states, and they decided to meet that very day on the date of their 38th wedding anniversary. And they just looked like, I don't know. You can look at the picture on Love Everywhere Project on Facebook. They just look so happy. And he, you know, had loved her for all this time. And they had both gone on, had separate lives, had good lives, had good relationships, but there was still something there when they got together. So I'm excited to follow their story. And so what I want to plant out, because I think that it's not just about hearing these stories, it's about listening to the concepts and the ideas behind them and asking ourselves, what can we do in our own lives to push love out there? So this week, the seed I want to plant for you is think about somebody from your past. It could be 2 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be a love interest. Maybe it shouldn't be a love interest, but somebody that made a difference for you, somebody that inspired you or maybe got you on the right path. And if you haven't contacted them in a while, maybe it's time to look them up. Maybe it's time to send them a card, a thank you. Maybe they don't know how what they did or what they said influenced your life. And Pam and Dawn really inspired me in that realm to think about people who helped me in the past and made my life what it is today. So that's my challenge for you this week on Your Life Unlimited. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Raul about his book, Advice is for Winners. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to Your Life Unlimited. I want to send a big shout out to Tiber River, 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston, tiberriver.ca. Great place to get your Christmas shopping done and a few little things for yourself as well. I'm pretty excited today because I love asking for advice, and I'm sure there's better ways to do it than the way I do. So just finished a great book. It's called Advice is for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. Happy to welcome Raul Valdez Perez to the show. Raul, welcome to Canada.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here from Pittsburgh.
Excellent. Well, I enjoyed your book. There is so much great information in here. What do you think is the biggest obstacle stopping people from asking for advice?
Surprisingly, I think the biggest obstacle is one that people don't guess at. Most people will say things like a fear of appearing weak and so on. One of the chapters in the book discusses the many reasons that I've come across and I've researched why people don't seek advice. The number one reason is, believe it or not, people don't think of it. Hmm. And there are reasons for that, but it just doesn't occur to them when they have a problem or issue to take the initiative to proactively seek out advice. There are reasons for that.
Well, what kind of reasons?
Well, think how parents bring up their children. If they bring them up well, they teach them, if you cause injury to someone, apologize or express regret. If someone does something for you, express appreciation or give thanks. Nobody teaches their children the following. If you have a problem or an issue, ask yourself, do you have the knowledge and experience to deal with this yourself? And if not, who does and could help?
Well, that's brilliant.
No one teaches that, neither in school nor at home. Probably I'm a father of three children. Perhaps I've not done a good job myself at teaching this to my children, but it's a very valuable question to ask oneself, and nobody is trained to do that.
Wow. Okay, so you know what? You don't even have to listen to the rest of the show, because you probably got your whole value just right there. So never mind teach your children, but to teach ourselves to ask that question. Do I have the knowledge and experience to deal with this? And if I don't...
Who does and could help?
Brilliant. Okay, so a lot of things can go wrong when you're seeking advice. I would imagine, as probably has happened to me a time or two. Sometimes that's the fear that's stopping us. That what if people don't want to help? What if they think I'm being too needy? What if? What if? What if? What kind of things have gone wrong or could go wrong, and how can we avoid them?
Well, there are many things that could go wrong. Reasons that may or may not be good for not seeking advice. So you could make a mistake, a mistake of judgment. You could approach people in the wrong way. There is, after all, a tact and a courtesy and a deference that you should show to people, because in effect you're asking them for a favor. So you could do that badly, and I have lots of examples of that. Then you can set up a session incorrectly. And what incorrect means follows from certain principles about advice giving that I could go into. And then finally, you could get contradictory advice and you fall apart because you don't know how to deal with contradiction. So there are many things that could go wrong, which is why it's worthwhile thinking it all through, researching it, and drawing on my own experience as an academic as well as an entrepreneur, and writing about a 170-page book.
Okay, so what type of advice can you start to give us? I'm sure there's a bazillion tips, but I'm going to encourage people to grab your book. It's called Advices for Winners, and they can pick it up from?
Amazon.com would be the easiest. Okay. You can buy an e-book version or a print version.
Okay, so there's lots in it for us to be asking for advice. It's easy to think that we could have all the answers, but we don't. So what are some simple things we could do to start establishing a great relationship to set us up to be able to ask for advice?
I think it's good to understand what advice consists of. Some people have the mistaken impression that advice is a recommendation, a recommended solution. People give you advice when they recommend a solution to your problem. That's a very narrow way to think of it. And once you expand your view of what advice really, truly consists of, then you change your behavior. So let me give you some examples. So advice can consist of a recommended solution to your problem, but it can also consist of pointers, who else you should speak with, what you should read, what events you should attend. That's another form of advice. Another benefit of advice is what I call framing. How should you think of the problem? What dimensions does the problem have? What could go wrong if one goes down one path or another? That's also very valuable. Furthermore, once people make a decision, say in business or in life, it's very helpful to proceed with confidence. Another benefit of advice is it gives you the confidence, for example, that you're not missing something, that nothing catastrophic will happen because you more or less have foreseen what could go wrong. And a final benefit of advice is that when you ask someone to share their wisdom, their counsel, their experience with you, you create a social engagement that will outlast that session if you do it well. So it creates a little bit of a social bond with people that could be called on in the future. They could perhaps call on you for help, and you could call on them again. So to do this well, you have to understand multiple aspects of the problem. One of the aspects, which has its own chapter, is what does advice really consist of? What are the different benefits of advice?
Okay. Well, I think it's clear. But one of the things that comes into my mind is that sometimes if I ask for advice and then I don't take it, then I feel guilty that, well, I asked and they were nice enough to give me this advice, but then I didn't do what they said to do. Am I the only
okay.
one?
Well, interesting. I remember when I was writing the book, I think I was at a cocktail party, and I was talking with a high executive who said that he or others like him rarely asked his boss for advice because then he would feel obligated to follow the advice. I think it's similar to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And But once you realize that advice consists of multiple things and not just recommended actions, then it changes your perspective. So there's no reason not to ask. Let's say your boss is somebody who would feel offended if you don't follow a solution that he or she recommends. Instead, you ask them for other things. You could say, I'm considering this problem. I'm not ready to consider solutions. I want to understand the different dimensions of the problem, and I'd like to know what questions to ask myself. So you can ask your boss. You can ask your parents. Depending on the nature of the relationship, you can ask your spouse questions along those lines, but without asking them for a recommended solution. I'm not ready to talk about solutions. I'm trying to frame the problem.
Oh, I love that. I'm not ready to talk about solutions, but I'm wondering what questions I could ask myself.
I should read, or who I should speak with, or what could go wrong. But I'm not ready to talk about solutions, so let's not go there. And then no one can be offended because they haven't recommended a solution to you.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Love it, love it. What about if advice is contradictory? So you're getting this person's telling you one thing, this person's telling you another thing.
Well, there's a chapter in the book on that. It helps. It's not very long. It's about 10 pages. It helps to understand where contradictions come from. Sometimes they come because you have not done your job well. So there's a basic principle here that good advice must depend on your circumstances and your goals and maybe your constraints. So in other words, on the context. Otherwise, it's not advice, it's a principle, or you know, you're reading an inspirational example, but advice must be preceded by consideration of your circumstances. So to have a good advice session, it's up to you, because not everybody who can give you good advice is an expert at it. So it's up to you as an advice seeker to make sure that you lay out what those circumstances are, and then because if you don't, then multiple people are going to make different assumptions about, for example, what your goals are. And if they don't understand what your goals are, they might be giving you contradictory advice. So there's a very simple recipe that I actually learned from my research from another book that I read. A very simple recipe as a guide to conducting a good session. It's the traveler's metaphor. Here's where I am now. Here's how I got here. And here's how I want to go. Here's where I want to go. And advisor, this is the type of advice that I'm seeking from you. Where I am, how I got there, where I want to go. Make sure you say that before you ask for advice.
Okay, well, that's it. I love simple recipes, especially the kind that you can't burn. The last thing I want to ask you before we go off to break is a lot of times with our spouses or partners, we have a problem, we have an issue, and we're maybe venting, but they oftentimes want to solve our problems. And as you said earlier, sometimes we're not ready for solutions. We're just kind of venting. But I may say, especially the men, they seem to want to solve problems. Do you find that? And what can we do about it?
Well, there is a psychological phenomenon that unsolicited advice is not well received. So if you might keep that in mind before offering advice to someone else who has not asked for it. If you're the recipient of unsolicited advice, you might recognize the psychological tendency and ask yourself, okay, apart from being offended that this person is giving me advice without me asking for it, is there something there? Does the person, number one, really understand my context? Unsolicited advice is especially bad because they haven't listened to you first. It's unsolicited after all. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand your circumstances and goals. So if I get unsolicited advice, the first thing I want to understand is, does this person really understand my circumstances and goals? And if they do, then maybe I should listen.
That makes total and perfect sense. And so maybe we can think about too, when someone is venting to us, we could be asking them, is this something you just want to vent about? Is this something you'd like some advice on? And get permission before we start spewing our words of wisdom. We're going to be back in a moment. We're talking with Raul Valdez-Perez about his book, Advice is for Winners. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples with the Your Life Unlimited quick tip of the week. And I'm a big fan of having a mentor or seeking out a mentor. And if it's something that you haven't done in a while, then here's a few ideas to help you make it a little bit easier. Choose somebody that you respect and admire, someone whose work you like, someone who has high integrity, and approach them with your request. Tell them why you want a mentor. Tell them why you want them. Show them that you've done a little research, that you know about them, and you really respect them, and that's why you want them. Make them feel like you put a little effort into it. Don't ask them to tell you everything about everything. Be really specific. Value their time, and maybe tell them you have 3 well-thought-out questions, and would it be okay if you asked them that? Be super honest, super succinct, and super brief. You really, really have to respect their time. If you do use their advice, show and tell them how you have used it. It's one of the greatest gifts that you can get back as being a mentor is having someone followed your advice and see their success and watch them grow. So if you are thinking about getting a mentor, don't be afraid. It's an awesome idea. And if you have something to offer someone else, you could always ask them if they would like a mentor too and share your wisdom and help make our world a better place. Welcome back to Your Life Unlimited, and I'll send a big shout out to First Impressions Hair and Skin Team, 1631 St. Mary's Road. They've got a new point system for their Avita products, so check them out. They always leave you looking and feeling great. If you haven't been to a Motivational Mondays yet, it is time to get your tickets. The next one is on November the 18th, or only $10 in advance, and the last seven have been sold out. Crazy awesome music and entertainment will always leave you feeling inspired, motivated, and wanting to make the world a little bit better place. It's a super big privilege hearing people's stories. I just love them. So the next one is November 18th. Check out momondays.com for more information on that. We are speaking with the author of Advices for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Work and Life. Raul Valdez Perez is sharing his story with us. And Raul, I'm always fascinated kind of on the back end of how people kind of got to the place of exploring their passions. And how did you start becoming an expert on advice?
Well, much before I became an expert, there were some things I observed that didn't make sense to me. I got a driver's license, like many people, when I was 17 or 18 years old. And I noticed that lost motorists hardly ever ask for directions. And especially men have this reputation, and I'm a man.
That's true.
And I never understood this. Here I am, a lost motorist, surrounded by 20 pedestrians who know the solution to my problem, and I won't ask them. It all struck me as absurd. Mm-hmm. So I actually made a habit. I actually enjoy asking for directions. Of course, now you have devices that guide you, but I've always enjoyed asking for directions as a form of human engagement and as an easy solution to my problem. Why should I drive around lost if I can just ask someone and they're pleased to give me the directions? So that was before I started researching this. Now, I was an academic most of my life. I started a business in 2000. This was a software company, and I started it with two PhD students from my university, Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And our circumstances were special. We knew nothing at all about business, the three of us. And we also had no outside investors initially. We had money from the federal government in the United States. So here our task was to build a business, try to make good decisions, but with very little in the way of experience. So I developed the habit of seeking out advice from others, and as a course of doing that over some years, began to think that maybe the world needed to know a little bit more about what I had learned. The company was actually a success. We were around for 12 years. I was CEO for 9 years. We were bought by IBM last year, and IBM has continued to grow the technology and to grow the company. In the course of building that company, at one point, 7 years after founding, we needed investment capital because we had found a very good market where we were competing well. I had never done this before, so I sought out three CEOs around town, and I went to visit them. I invited them to lunch at their convenience and visited them, and I asked them. I told them our circumstances, and I asked for three recommendations of what they would do in order to raise investment capital. Funny thing is, I got three very contradictory recommendations. And I think I discussed this example in my book about why there is contradiction. I ended up following one of the recommendations, which made the most sense to me. But it helps to understand why people give contradictory recommendations, even though they're equally qualified and they're equally distinguished and accomplished.
So what do you think are some of the best questions that we could ask when we sit down with someone that we're asking advice for? Because I really think that the quality really is in the questions. And maybe if we had a few kind of top of mind, that would help us out.
There are generic questions, but the single most important thing is to ensure that they listen to you first and that you have thought through exactly where you are, where you want to go, and how you've gotten there. Because that's what a person needs, an advisor needs, in order to give good advice. If you're dealing with someone who's not a very good listener, then that's a problem. Because their immediate reaction, I've known people, we've all known people like that, who temperamentally like to talk more than they listen, and that's okay. But that means they're giving you advice that's not targeted for you. So I've had that experience with people. Instead, what I do is gee, I asked them, is there someone else that you know that I should go speak with about this general problem? And they can do that. They can give me pointers. But temperamentally, they just don't listen enough, so they don't really understand what your problem is. So 75% of the game is just explaining your situation at the start, and you have to think through that. And you have to prepare for a meeting, too. You have to show people that you've done your homework. If you've never met them before, show them that you did a little bit of background research on them. And it's very easy nowadays on the web.
For sure. You also write in your book that people who care about you give the best advice. So that's interesting, because necessarily people who care about you wouldn't be experienced in this area or that area that you're interested in going into.
I think that's true, but I wouldn't say that people who care about you give the best advice. I would say that that's one of the qualities that you look for in a good advisor. But the number one quality is being a good listener. There are other qualities like being experienced and knowledgeable, having a wide network so they know of other people or writings or events that they could recommend for you. So there are many qualities. And I think I say jokingly in the book that if you find someone with all of these qualities, let me know.
Absolutely.
So I can call on them. You're not going to find everything. But the number one quality is being a good listener, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that we give back as well. If you're interested in more information, check out adviceisforwinners.com. And Raoul's book, again, is Advice is for Winners. Thanks so much for your time, Raoul. Thank you for sharing your interest. And if I need some advice, I'm going to give you a call.
Thank you, Mike. With pleasure.
Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to Your Life Unlimited. We're going to take a little right turn and change the topic a bit, because 'tis the season where we want to hunker down and not do anything. And it's already, you can tell, it's we want to put the blanket on and be lazy. But I gotta force myself to go outside. I gotta force myself to move. So I have turned to Kate McKenzie. She is fitness guru, personal trainer, fitness expert, and the founder of SureFireFitness.ca. Welcome to the show, Kate. You are here for one reason only, and that is to kick my butt.
Thank you, Stephanie. Looking forward to it.
So, okay, do you find that that happens a lot with people? So we're all like gung-ho and excited to be outside and active and moving in the summer, and then, we turn into slugs.
Yeah, for sure. And that happens with myself, too. I just love being outside in the summertime, hot, sunny weather. And wintertime, people tend to cozy up and want to stay indoors. But it's a good time of year to actually shift gears and maybe get excited for some new activities. There's a lot of great things that we can do, whether it just be walking outside or going skating or taking advantage of activities that we can't necessarily do when it is a little bit warmer out.
So do you think it's about changing what's between the ears too? Like just having that mindset, like people this morning, it's like, oh, it's cold out. It's like, okay, but it's not going to be cold in a month. This is going to seem like, oh, it was really warm, right? So it's about changing the way we think about it.
Yeah, for a lot of people. And I think just trying to look forward to things, like anticipating activities that you can't do in the summertime. So for me last year, I had a little project that I was going to take advantage of the outdoor ice that we have available to us all over this city. It costs absolutely nothing. You can rent skates or buy a secondhand pair of skates and just go skating, whether it's on, you know, a rink out at the park or some of the outdoor ice that we have on the rivers here. So,
okay. So what are some of the things that we can do? Because we don't necessarily have to be outside as well, right? There's lots of things we can do inside. Some people aren't wanting to join a gym or for various reasons. What can we do at home? What can we do at work? What little things can we do to just start making a small shift in our physical health?
Yeah, absolutely. People don't like going to the gym when it's minus 40 and it's freezing cold and it's dark early in the morning or even right after work. So what we do with a lot of our clients is we set them up with a workout that they can do at home, whether it's on their own. You actually don't need any equipment at all. As long as you've got your body,
right?
yeah, that's all you need. You can use a couple of stairs or a couch or a chair, and you can actually do some sort of exercises with that type of equipment. Lots of balancing, lots of core strengthening exercises. There's actually tons and tons that you can do with very little or no equipment at all, other than, like you said, your body.
Okay, so if we were going to do that, so say we're thinking about, okay, I'm going to try and just lean into that being more physically active. Would you say like put it a certain time of day? Would you say a certain number of minutes? What give us an idea of what a start would look like?
I think everyone's different. Some people can easily manage something every day. For other people, that's just pulling teeth, trying to get them to do something. So start at what you think works for you is normally what we recommend. If you can do 10 minutes, that's great. 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, and then gradually build on that. Some people right off the pop are able to dedicate more time or have more energy to do a little bit more right off the hop. you know, it's so individual, and I just like to tell people that they should do what works for them and start small. And if it feels good and they want to do more, then it's usually okay to proceed.
If you are ever thinking about having a personal trainer, what I like about it is you don't have to sign up for a lifetime commitment, or you can hire you, come in for a one time, set you up with something, and...
Yeah, we really try to customize our programs to what works for the client. And some people, you know, we see them, we set them up with a program, and then we just touch base with them whenever they need, maybe visit them once a month or even every couple months just to make sure that they're on track. Other people prefer, you know, to have that more, a little bit more direct contact and motivation, and they know that they'll be a little bit more successful if they have somebody coming once a week just to make sure that they're progressing as they want to be or should be. So,
so say I was going to add three exercises with my own body weight into my daily life and just throw a minute of them in here and there.
Yeah.
What would be like the top three exercises you would advise?
Oh, my top number one would be a plank type exercise. Okay. So super awesome for all the muscles of the core, including the lower back. Second thing I would add would be something specifically for the lower back. And again, it's hard to recommend a specific exercise just because everyone's so different in how their body works and where they may have muscle imbalances or previous injuries. So it's hard to prescribe something, but a plank type exercise, a lower back type exercise, and then something that keeps you moving. So for most people, walking is a great start. Other people can kind of get out and do a little bit more with skiing or skating or running or swimming or whatever it may be. But as long as you're moving, that's kind of the basis of...
I thought for sure you were going to say squats. I put my money on squats for sure. So you've got something kind of exciting coming up in the city. Let's talk about that.
I do. It's a fundraiser that we do in support of Kids Sport Manitoba. It's the second year that we're running it. It's called Train Your Trainer. And it's basically an opportunity for anyone who would like to sign up, but specifically for our clients at Surefire Fitness to come and turn the tables and pick some exercises for us to do. So in that situation, yes, you're right. Lots of squats will be headed my way.
I'm sure. I was there last year and it was a lot of fun. I love things that are benefiting good things that are happening in the city. So it's benefiting Kids Sport.
Yes.
And people could find out about it where?
Surefirefitness.ca, or look up our Facebook page at Surefire Fitness and the event will be posted there.
Okay. So what's one of the biggest resistance you hear? Or is there some excuse that's been like, oh my God, I haven't heard that one before. What's been the biggest shock for you?
A biggest shock. I don't know. I feel like we often hear the same excuses over and over again.
I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have energy. I don't have enough motivation.
Yeah. But we all have the same amount of time in our day. Yeah. So I don't buy that at all.
So what do you do to help people push over that that obstacle?
You know what? It really has to be up to them. I try to remind them that we've all got the same amount of time in our day, and it's just a matter of setting priorities. And at times it can be difficult for people to kind of shift things around or find the time, so to speak. But once they do, they find that usually it's really beneficial. And, you know, most people who start moving, if they haven't moved for a long time, they really just, their energy increases and they feel so much better that they can't even imagine their life without exercise.
And it is so ironic, right? That the more energy we put in, the more energy we
get out. It's true. I think people feel, for whatever reason, that if they exercise, they'll be tired. But there's so much benefit that you get in terms
it's
of increased energy.
It's just getting off the couch, right? Because it's dark and it's cold and we're cozy.
But it doesn't have to be crazy. You don't need to go and run 10 miles every morning. You know, go for a walk. What I do is I always make sure that I've got running shoes in my truck. And, you know, maybe I hadn't planned to go for a walk or go for a run, but maybe I have an extra 20 minutes that I hadn't
Great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a huge takeaway. So what if you just kept running shoes in your trunk like all the time?
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't have that one last excuse.
Yeah.
Right?
And if I maybe felt like going for a run at lunchtime or a quick walk, then I wouldn't have I don't have the right footwear, because they're always there.
Right. And you know, if you find yourself in a different area of town sometimes, that's enough for me. That's enough inspiration for me to just see something different, do something different. But if I had the running, I'm totally going to
I knew you'd like that one.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And how do you tie nutrition into this?
Nutrition, again, very individual. I find that people tend to eat better when they're moving more. So listen to your body. It'll tell you what you need. It doesn't normally need cinnamon buns and all that crazy stuff. Although I do advise people to have a balanced life. So I think people think that most trainers are crazy and they'll tell them never to eat ice cream or look at nachos again. But I mean, we all enjoy those foods and there is room for them in moderation. And I mean, you only live once, so you want to enjoy.
Yeah. When in Rome.
Exactly.
And that's our reward, right? Like, and I think, I know when I'm doing good on the exercise kick, it's like, oh, I kind of don't want to have that crap because it's going to negate everything that I did. And probably the worst or best advice that I've ever heard is that it's 80-20 rule, right?
Yeah. I normally say 90-10, although personally, I'm probably more of a 70-30 sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you're eating well 80-90% of the time, then that last 10-20% isn't the end of the world. So I like that rule. I definitely tell people that too.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your advice, Kate McKenzie, surefirefitness.ca. Check it out, and we'll be back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back. I hope you've enjoyed the show, got lots of value. And if you want more, there's always more for you at yourlifeunlimited.ca. Check out the Facebook page, Your Life Unlimited, or the Love the Love Everywhere Project. I'd love to hear your stories of good things that people are doing out in the world to make it a little bit better of a place. We're talking with Kate McKenzie, personal training guru. If there was only one thing you could let people know, what would that be?
Well, I just find that people get really stuck when they're seeking out the advice of a personal trainer, and everyone seems to be very focused on looking better. And if I was going to give one piece of advice, it would be just to focus on feeling better. So get moving, eat well so you feel better, and you'll automatically start to look better when you radiate all that extra energy.
I love that idea. And throw your running shoes in the car.
Yeah, always have them with you. You never know when you might be inspired to go for a quick run or walk around the block.
Sounds like a great idea. Thanks so much for sharing your advice. If you are interested in moving your life forward, check out the coaching page on Your Life Unlimited. Stop waiting for a better time. The better time is right now to make your life better, make a bigger contribution to your community and to your family. Thanks for listening. As usual, it's Stephanie Staples encouraging you to live your life unlimited.